don't want as a pastor? A lapdog. That he's he's a little pet. And he's lovely, and you control him, and you tell him how it's going to be, and he's lovely to put on display. Don't want that kind of shepherd dog, do you? You want the real thing, don't you? Now that's John Williams' sermon. Hey, I'm going back 30 years and more. Isn't it amazing? So, we have to think a little while, before I apply this more, we have to think about why are dogs in Scripture described as so unclean. I mean, you look at our lovely dogs today, especially after they've had a wash and a shampoo and a bath, and they're lovely things, aren't they? But dogs in Scripture, they were half wild most of the time. They were pretty hungry most of the time. And they weren't particularly kept as pets, although children will have puppies to make an exception. But generally thinking about dog type behavior, it is unclean behavior very often. Some of the things I prayed to the Lord, I said, Lord, help me not say some unmentionables here this morning, that they do horrible things, don't they, from time to times, the things that they'll sniff, etc. So you find that in Scripture that they are condemned as unclean. So Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 18, the Lord says, regarding giving offerings to the Lord in the service of God, in worship, in the tabernacle and the temple, this is something you shall not do. You shall not bring the hire of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not have the price of the hire of a harlot and give that money over into the temple worship, nor selling, that is, the price of a dog. You shall not do that, because to do so would be to associate those unclean things with the holy worship of God. So you won't do that. So that therefore tells us very clearly that Scripture shows us that dogs are ceremonially unclean, and they become representative of unclean things. A dog was used as a term of reproach. You could find that in Scripture. I'll give you one here. 2 Samuel and 16 and verse 9. I can't remember the Scripture, so I've got to give it out from the text exactly. So here we have. We have in 2 Samuel 16:9. Here it is. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, David, this is regarding Shimei, who had cursed David, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over, and I'll take off his head. That's Abishai, right? Shimei had cursed King David, the anointed of the Lord, remember? And as far as Abishai was concerned, Shimei was like a dog, unclean, not even worthy to be alive. You see? So that's the picture. And we find dogs in Scripture, poetically, they are used to describe the enemies of the Lord. And in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, where prophetically in Psalm 22, he's surrounded by his enemies upon the cross. In Psalm 22 and verse 16, We read about dogs there. Verse 16, Jesus on the cross. For dogs have surrounded me. Closely linked to this. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Dogs have surrounded me. The prayer goes on in Psalm 22, verse 20. Deliver me from the sword. It's Jesus praying, really. My precious life from the power of the dog. Goes on to say, similarly, see, this is poetry as well. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Three pictures there. A dog, a lion, and an oxen. Opposed to Jesus. Dying on the cross. Enemies all around. See, my dream, that dream that I had, it was the enemy trying to infiltrate my life and my home life. The enemy trying to come in, and they were represented to me in the dream as dogs, unclean things. Now, because dogs in Scripture are described as unclean, the Jews recognized that, and as the years went by, they recognized that they were called to be a holy nation, set apart from the nations and the Gentiles in general, and they looked at their own behavior, which generally speaking had been so modified and cleaned up by the law of the Lord, that they thought of themselves as holy. Of course, we know it was only outward holiness, mostly. But they thought of themselves as holy, and therefore the Gentile nations unholy. They thought of themselves as clean, therefore the Gentile nations unclean. So they took this idea of something unclean and put a nickname, if you like, on the nations and called the Gentile nations dogs. Not very polite, is it? But that's the way it was. That's how they viewed the rest of the world. And that's what they believed. How could these pictures of dogs in Scripture, how could they convey this feeling and attitude of uncleanness that the Jews had towards the Gentile nations? Well, in many Scriptures, references to dogs are closely linked to references to wicked transgressors. I've got time to all look all these up, you see. Psalm 59, verse 56. We are told about the uncleanness of dogs. We, like dogs, return to vile things again and again. So Proverbs 26, 11, 2 Peter 2, 22 tells us that dogs return to their vomit. How vile is that? And they'll eat the food that they've regurgitated when they were sick. Dogs can do stuff like that. But that's a picture as well for the way of the world. The gospel's come. It's saved multitudes. It's helped clean up nations, not in every individual within the nation. But what my friend years ago said, the gospel has an elevating effect. It pulls us out of the mire and out of the dirt and out of the filth, even as nations. And yet, we as a nation have been raised so high by the grace of God. We have turned from the grace of God, and we have fallen so low. And we as a nation now are like dogs returning to their vomit. We're going back to the old pagan ways. We're going back to the ways of iniquity and sin and gross evil. Vile things. Vile things are taking place around us every day, all day. Our nation is in a dreadful state. And we're just like dogs in that respect. We've returned to the vomit. But the gospel got us away from the vomit, but we returned to the vomit. By the way, I shared these ideas with a brother, a friend that I met now on this little holiday, a preacher. And I told him what I had in mind, you know. And he said, oh, he said, yeah. He said, I had a friend, a student friend, that preached on that very text, the dog has returned to his vomit. And he said, and afterwards the people came up to the preacher and they said, achavi. Yeah, well, it is achavi, isn't it? It's horrible, isn't it? It's awful. But we are, without Christ, we are like dogs. We're comparable to dogs. It's not a very nice picture. And I can think of you saying to yourself, is that me? I'm not that bad. Are you sure? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We, like dogs, like the dog in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and Lazarus left outside as a beggar, and he's covered with sores because of his ill health and his poverty, and it says, and the dogs came and licked his sores. And we lick the sores of sin all the time, and we find pleasure in them. We must turn from this if we would be clean. Are you sure you are clean, even as believers now? You need to become more and more clean. Give up and turn away from those vile things that you will allow and tolerate. Perhaps even 10 years ago you would never even thought you could allow such a thing in your life. You see, it's a challenge, isn't it? We have to be diligent. That's why Paul could say to the Philippian Christians, beware of dogs. Hypocritical worship. If we're not truly worshipping from our hearts, truly adoring God and worshipping him in spirit and in truth, and it's a form of hypocrisy, that is likened in Scripture to the sacrifice of a dog, which is abominable. So you can see, it's a pretty gross picture. Now, every one of us by nature, spiritually, before conversion, are dog-like. We are unclean things. But is there hope for those which are unclean? Praise God, there is. So I bring you now to Matthew 15 and the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15. This woman of Canaan. Now, it's a wonderful little story. Here is a woman, a Gentile woman, not a Jew. She lives on the borders of Israel. Jesus had deliberately travelled up to the borders of Israel to preach the gospel there so that Galilee of the Gentiles might hear more and more of the gospel of the Lord. And this woman probably sees Jesus for the first time, not sure. Certainly has heard about Jesus. She's got this awful dilemma in her life, this awful heartache in her life. Her daughter is demon-possessed. Her daughter somehow has opened the door to demonic possession. By the way, no soul can be demon-possessed unless they open the door to it. You can go very deep into sin and iniquity and not be demon-possessed. But if you open the door to the occult just a little bit, if you open the door to the things of Satan and darkness just a little bit, it could be even as small as reading the horoscopes, or anything like that, or go into a spiritist meeting, or anything like that, you are in danger of opening the door to demon possession. You have to be very careful here. This woman, with her background in paganism, this mother and this daughter, probably worshipped idols, and that would open the door to demonic possession. And this woman's daughter was terribly possessed. She was grievously vexed by the devil, this devil that was possessing her daughter. My daughter, it says in verse 22 of Matthew 15, is severely demon devil possessed. Severely. Grievously. And obviously, therefore, the devil is trying to kill that girl. The devil is trying to kill this young individual. But there's hope. Because Jesus draws near. Jesus comes to the boundary of the nation. And she hears of him and she comes to him. And she comes with a request. She comes to him worshipping him. She comes to him with good words of prayer. Have mercy on me, O Lord. She recognizes who he is. Have mercy on me, O Lord. My daughter is severely depressed. But Jesus tests her faith. He tests it, but he also exercises it. Do you know faith has been described as a muscle? You have to exercise it. And when it's exercised, it gets strong. If you don't exercise it, it will atrophy. So you've got to exercise it. You see what Jesus is doing with this woman. Now, it doesn't look very good on the surface. It looks like Jesus is being aloof. But he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so he doesn't answer a word. Does she give up? Not at all. There are the disciples all around Jesus, aren't there? There's at least the 12 and then probably some others as well. So, and basically, she's nagging them. Get me to Jesus, or get Jesus to me, because I know he's the only one that can deal with my daughter's terrible situation. And they're calling on these disciples. And they're weary of this woman. So they come to the Lord Jesus, and they say to the Lord Jesus, can you do something with this woman? Because she's nagging us, basically, my words. She just won't leave us alone. And then Jesus answers the disciples, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. I have been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I have to feed Israel first. And later, he didn't say that here, but he would have been in his mind, later I will deal with the Gentiles. And so there she is. But she doesn't give up when she's got this apparent refusal. And she comes again. And verse 25. And this time she worships. And she says, Lord, help me. She's appealing to him as her Lord. I can't give the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs, can I? I'm here to feed Israel first. But she kept, at that moment, she knows she's got him, the Lord Jesus. She's got him now. She says, yes, Lord, that's true. And I don't want you to give me the children's bread. I don't want you to give me the bread that belongs to Israel. I know where I am in the scheme of things. I'll accept a crumb off the children's table. Don't little dogs have crumbs from the children's table? Don't little dogs, when mom and dad are not looking, don't the children give the little dog a little snippet of food or a little piece of food? Don't they do that? Yes, they do. Ah, Jesus says, yes. Great is your faith, woman. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire. Now, we can learn from this. The Gospels here. She doesn't argue with Jesus about him referring to her as a dog and clean. She says to the Lord, she accepts what Jesus has to say. She accepts his verdict. I am unclean. Have you come to that point where you see before God you are unclean? Have you come to that point when you realize you have sinned and offended God in thought and word and deed? Have you come there? Because you've got to come there in order to be saved. You have to then realize there's nothing you can do to save yourself. You have to accept the Lord's verdict about you and then say, that being so, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I'll accept a crumb of your grace, because I know a crumb of your grace will save me. So remember me, Lord. This is how she's arguing the case. Now we have to be in that place as well. We have to recognize that we are unclean. We are all as an unclean thing. Spiritually, by nature, I say this in love, we're as dirty as a dog. By nature. But God takes that which is dirty and he can make it clean. He can take the vile and make it beautiful. He can take that which is unholy and make it holy. And you can be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can have a new life from God. You can have a fresh start with the Lord. You can begin over again. You can have the blessing of his grace. So accept the condition that you are in. And like this woman, persevere in faith. I don't know how I'm going to get this, but I'm going to get this. I'm going to pray and I'm going to receive what God has to offer me in the gospel. Secondly, she actually believed in the love and power of Jesus to heal her daughter. She more than likely hadn't yet seen a miracle, but she believed in what she'd heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So she believed what was said about Jesus. How could she call him the Son of David, which is the title for Messiah? How could she call him Lord, which means he is God in the flesh? She knew these things. She believed these things. And she believed in his love and in his power. And she said to herself, he's the one, and only him, can deal with the tyranny of Satan and sin in my life and my daughter's life. And he's the one who, out of his grace and love, can heal her and set us free from this evil that has come upon our household. You've got to go to Jesus. You must not delay. You must go to Jesus to be saved. You don't have to go on a 1,000-mile pilgrimage, mind. You don't have to become very religious. It's nothing to do with that. It's trusting Christ. It's coming to him as a sinner and saying, like this woman, Lord, help me. Or to just change the word slightly, give you the same idea. Lord, save me. If you do that, you'll be saved. Truly, from your heart. Save me. Whoever comes to him, he's never cast anyone out. He's never turned anyone away who's come like this spirit of this woman. Acknowledging she's unclean, acknowledging that only Jesus in his love and power can help her. And she came, therefore, completely humble, with all humility. The Bible says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. She was humble, so she got grace. This is what you and I must do. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. And this is how she came. Now, that's the gospel. I'm going to finish soon. Just a final word to us believers present. Beware of dogs. Those little things, perhaps, that you might take into your life and you think, oh, they're very attractive. I know they're wrong, but it's not so bad. I'll let that thing continue in my life, whatever that might be. Beware of the dog of, say, for example, legalism. There is a tendency, once you know the Lord as your Saviour, to think that you are a cut above others. I don't live like I used to live. I don't mix with those people that I used to mix with. And you become very legalistic, which is a form of pride. Beware of that dog. Beware of the dog of legalism, which is man-made rules, whereby we think that that's the way to please God and everybody else. No! Beware of that dog. That's a very powerful influence upon Christian living, which is what Paul was dealing with in Philippians. Beware of the dog of deception. There are various kinds of dogs, isn't there? You know, a dog is a dog at the end of the day, whether it's a small one or a big one. A wolf's a dog. And didn't Jesus tell us to beware of men who come to us, wolves in sheep's clothing? This is the dog of deception and of lies. I've met a few of those in my years now, as they've gone by. On the surface, they look fine. They seem to be the real deal. Seem to be real Christians. But when you listen to their teaching after a while, when you begin to observe their life after a while, you realize they don't know the Lord at all. They've just got a form of religion that denies the power thereof. And they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And of course, this really is referring to false doctrine coming into the church. Paul could say to the Ephesian elders, I know that after my departure, wolves will come amongst the flock at Ephesus and will seek to destroy it by way of lies and deception and devour it. Beware of another little dog that can come. Foxes, they're dogs, aren't they? They're canine. Little foxes. It's a lovely scripture, isn't it? In Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15. Beware of the little foxes that spoil the vine. What are little foxes in the Christian life? Well, you could apply it in many ways, but I think that because it says little, it's something you won't observe obviously. Little foxes can be things like this. Wrong attitudes towards one another. That's the little fox that can spoil the vine of Christian fellowship. The cut-in remark, the impatience, that sort of thing. This attitude, this wrong attitude. Perhaps unforgiveness. Beware of the little foxes that spoil the vine. The vine being the fruit of the Spirit, that sort of thing. Little things that can spoil our love for God and our love for one another. Beware of all these things. Little foxes that spoil the vine. Beware of entertaining little dogs that could actually kill you. Now, there's a story in a book that Yvonne and I are reading of an American couple who were on holiday in Mexico. And as they're returning from their holiday in Mexico, they take a break in their drive, and in a little ditch on the side of the road, they look, and there's a little chihuahua, sick, in the ditch. So they think, oh, it's a poor animal. So they pick it up, and they hold it. It's very sick, and they nurse it, and they do something that they shouldn't have done. They smuggled it in to America, across the border, and they smuggled it in. And they're doing their best to help this little chihuahua. And they even took it to bed with them. And nursing it and watching over it. And then it dies. So they take it to the vet to dispose of. And the vet says, what are you doing with this animal? Oh, it's this little chihuahua. He said, it's not a chihuahua. He said, it's a desert rat that's died of rabies. You'd be nursing a rat that's died of rabies. It could have bitten you. You could have died of rabies. You have to know what you're dealing with. You have to beware. Beware of dogs. Think it through. So don't let anything into your life that will undermine your fellowship with God, your fellowship with one another, and undermine the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beware of dogs. That's the message the Lord gave me to bring you, and it started in a dream. Let me say this. Spiritual maturity is being able to discern between good and evil. What is of God, what is not of God. What is a dog, and what is a sheep or a lamb. You have to be able to discern. Beware of dogs. They're all around us, spiritual dogs. Beware of ungodly and evil men. Beware of deceivers. What you must do is trust Christ. And if you're not saved, you need to trust Christ, because the devil would destroy you if he could. Trust the Lord Jesus now and escape judgment and hell. And look to God. Look to God and put all your trust in him. It's a warning. When Paul wrote that to the Philippians, he was warning them. I remember Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said once, there is a ministry of warning. So I've warned you, beware of dogs. Thank you for listening. Amen.